friends and radio listeners, and welcome to this program of the Archie Harding Ministries as we come your way today proclaiming, souls are crying and men are dying. Won't you help us to win the lost? I'm Sharon Knotts, and I want to tell you about today's message, One Word from Jesus, which I ministered at a Sunday night service at Faith Tabernacle. And the level of inspiration that night was very high, and I believe that this anointed exhortation will encourage and enlighten your spirit of faith. So at the close of the broadcast, I'll be back to tell you how you can order a CD of today's message, One Word from Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's my rock tonight. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, glory to God. My life is on the firm foundation that cannot be moved. And regardless of the things that come against us, sometimes we get hit and struck down. Amen. We get struck down. That's what Paul said. He said we're cast down, but he said we're not destroyed. You cannot destroy the faith of a true child of God. Troubles, the hardest blow that you can face, and things can come to just totally devastate your life. But if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, it cannot destroy your faith. It may seem to shake you up, and you may feel yourself shaken. But one thing about when God shakes you, he said he shakes you so that you can see what will remain. God shakes you to show you that you can stand because you are standing in him. Amen. You are standing on the rock of ages. And when that trouble comes, it does not destroy your faith. It strengthens your faith. It fortifies your faith. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But if you stand firm in the day of adversity, your strength is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you can make it when he is your strength. Satan cannot destroy your faith when it's really rooted firmly in Jesus. He will lie to you. He will tell you that he will. He will tell you that your faith is going to fail you this time. That this time you can't possibly make it through. But he's a liar. Amen. And even when you feel uncertain and you don't feel that strong assurance that you want. Because a lot of times, let me tell you something. Jesus is always there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've told you this before, but sometimes it bears repeating. That if you read that in the Greek where it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It says when I will never leave you, it means I will never leave you when you're in a hard place. When you're going through things in life, I will not leave you. But when it says I will not forsake you, it means that when you were absolutely in the lurch, when you had been feel like you've been abandoned by everyone and everything, when you're at the lowest point, he said, and in order for you to get the impact of the way it's meant in the Greek, you would have to say it five times. I will never, 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 no, not ever, leave you nor forsake you. That's how powerful it is. Amen. I will not. And when you know that Jesus is always there, but sometimes you don't feel him as much as other times, because sometimes what you're going through and the powers of darkness and the spiritual warfare and all of the anguish and agony that you're facing are just, you know, they're causing your senses to speak louder, and you feel all of the turmoil in your emotions. And you feel the tears coming down your face. You feel that knot in your throat. You feel the anxiety. You feel the fear. And all those lies of the enemy are just pounding away at you. Jesus is as near as he ever was and ever will be. But you are surrounded. Amen. And it reminds me of the story we all know well about of Peter and walking on the water. But we got to back up a little bit. You know, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men, and we know the Bible says, and besides women and children. So we can just estimate or guesstimate that probably there could have been 20,000 or more people there, because most men, especially the Jewish people of that day, they would have had a wife and a bunch of children. So thousands he fed. And you know, that is the only miracle that all four Gospels records. Out of all the miracles that Jesus did, that's the only one that all four of them record. And that says something to me. That says to me that, boy, it really made an impact on them. An impact that they took one little boy's lunch of two fish and five little biscuits and fed 20,000 people. I mean, you're never, ever, ever going to forget that one. Amen? Especially when you were the one serving it up. And here it just was kept appearing. I mean, come on now. So they all recorded that miracle. And I imagine it took a tremendous burst of dynamic, supernatural energy to produce that. I mean, there had to be such a power to go through Jesus, because this is a creative miracle. Amen. To just miraculously multiply from two to and fish to thousands. Amen. So Jesus really was tapping into the supernatural. Because remember, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and he went about doing good. He laid aside his properties as God. He was depending on the power of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something, it still happens in modern time. I hadn't heard about it anytime, anywhere around here, and even in America. But I have read the book and heard the testimonies. This one couple, that they're Americans, but they left America. They left a fine, middle class, safe, comfortable life. And they went over there into Mozambique, which is one of the, I think it's the poorest nation in Africa. And they've been there for years. And they have orphanages and they take care of children. And they have already gotten down to no food to feed those children. And you know, have a little bit. They've already prayed over it and it's been multiplied. This has happened to them several times, that they have fed the children when it being multiplied after prayer. So it's the same today. So what I'm saying, though, this was a miraculous thing that happened to Jesus. So anyway, he fed them and he was winding it up and they all had eaten. They were all fed and all filled and they still had 12 baskets left over. And he said, gather it all up, lest nothing should be wasted. God doesn't waste anything. Amen. Sometimes some people wonder why they don't get blessed. It's because they waste their blessings. Don't waste them and you'll get more. Amen. Appreciate what God gives you. So he had just finished this miracle and he said to his disciples, he said, I want you to go get in a boat and go over to the other side. And they must have protested. And the reason why I say that is the scripture says Jesus constrained the disciples. When you constrain someone, you're putting a little pressure on them. They're kind of like, you know, they're not down with it. So they were, why did they didn't want to go? I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to go without Jesus. Or maybe they wanted to hang around, see if he was going to do some other miracles. I don't know, but he had to say, listen, I'm going to stay here and dismiss the crowd. You leave now. Go get in the ship and go over on the other side. Now, why did Jesus do that? The obvious reason is, he goes right on to say that after he dismissed the crowd, he went up into the mountain apart, that he may have time to pray. And when evening was come, he was alone. Sometimes you have to get apart and alone. And especially when you've come off of a high, when you've come off of a spiritual high, you really need to be careful then. It's so easy to coast after that. Woo. You can coast for a while on a spiritual high. Sometimes on Sunday nights, I could coast till Wednesday. But you know what? If I do that, I am opening up the door to the enemy. So he had to immediately, because he had spent the anointing. Listen, if you're ever under a heavy anointing, I mean a heavy anointing, while you're under that anointing, you feel like you could fly home. But when it lifts, you feel like you can't get out of the chair. You're exhausted. And so he must have been exhausted. And I think another reason why he may have sent them on is because he knew the people. Once before he had been preaching and they all got in a boat to go on the other side, and a whole bunch of people got in boats and followed him. And I believe that he was trying to distract the people so that they could get away, because he wanted a time to be separate. And so he's up in the mountain alone, apart in prayer, getting recharged. Because when you spend and use up your batteries, you got to get them recharged. Amen. So here in the meantime, they had gotten on the boat, and the scripture says they were in the midst of the sea. And that means just what it says, in the middle. They were halfway across the Sea of Galilee. It's about 4 miles wide, so they were about 2 miles in. And the storm came. And the Bible says the winds were contrary, however you want to say it. They were bad winds, kind of like we experienced around here last night. How would you like to be out on a boat in last night's weather? Amen. And here they were in the midst of this storm, and Jesus is it over 2 miles away, at least, because they were in the middle, so he was up on a mountain, so he was well over 2 miles away. But he knew they were in trouble. You see, the last time they got in trouble in the boat when the storm came, Jesus was in the boat. He was there sleeping on the boat. It was easy to go say, wake up, don't you care, we're all going to die. But Jesus is at least 2 miles or so away now. But he knew they were in trouble. He heard their cries. He knew that they were in danger and their life was being threatened. You see, the devil, he's such a coward. You know, Jesus had done this great miracle. Do you think the devil was going to sit down and just say, oh, well, one for you? He was mad. But he didn't go after Jesus. He went after the disciples. Amen? And sometimes the devil is so cotton-picking mad at God, he don't know what to do, so he comes after you. I said he comes after me. He comes after us. He can't get to God, so he says, well, I'll pick on his kids. But let me tell you something. The Lord is not going to sit up there on the throne and let him get away with it. He's not going to get away with it. Jesus was over 2 miles away, but he knew they were in trouble.
Amen. When one word from Jesus is all you have, one word from the Master is all you need. Friends, I know from personal experience that adversity never destroys true faith. It only strengthens it. Regardless of what you are facing today, you are not facing it alone if your trust is in the Sea Walker, who will never let you sink. He promised he will never leave you nor ever forsake you. Storms will come. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I know that the level of anointing that night was upon me was great. And I believe that this message and this anointed word can release hope and faith to your spirit. Now, you can obtain the CD, One Word from Jesus, for a love gift of $10 or more to help us with the radio ministry and requesting offer number SK159. That's S as in Sharon, K as in Knots, 159. Please write to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or if you prefer, go online and order at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Once again, that's offer number SK159. For your love gift of $10 or more, we'll send you this message, One Word from Jesus. The mailing address, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Even if you do not wish to order, please write or go online and let us know how the radio ministry is blessing you. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha. Yeah.